So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was after he had taken sannyas and was preaching, he met the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, in Ramakeli. Ramakeli is just on the border of Bengal, situated on the Ganges. And then these two brothers surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they had to return to government service for some time longer. But in due course of time, Rupa Goswami retired, and he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, which is now known as Allahabad. And there in Prayag, he received instructions from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then later, Sanatan Goswami also met with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Benares. And after again, Sanatan Goswami stayed with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. In due course of time, both Rupa and Sanatan got the instructions from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, to excavate all the various holy places that were there, to search out the holy places, and to write books to establish the religious conclusions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings on the basis of scripture. Nanashastra vicharane kanipano. They scrutinized so many scriptures and they found so many references supporting the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, Sanatan Goswami was the first one to arrive in Vrindavan. And he was looking for a place. And of course, Sanatan Goswami was always thinking of a place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might want to stay. Yeah. So he looked at different places in Vrindavan, and then his eye fell upon this hill, which is known as Dwadas Adichatila. As we came down the path, we passed Kaliya Ghat, the place where Krishna danced on the hoots of Kaliya. And today we will not discuss that pastime so much, because there's no end to how many pastimes there are in Vrindavan. So we'll focus on this place. After Krishna had been, well, first of all, he had been in the water for some time. Then he had been dancing on the hoots of Kaliya. So Krishna had become cold. And so since he had become cold, water here. Since he had become cold, he came on this hill, and then the sun became 12 times as strong. And then Krishna warmed up here after bathing. And that's what this place was known for and famous for. So Sanatana Goswami chose this place because it was right on the Yamuna. The Yamuna was just down here, the Parikram path that we are walking now. That's the old riverbed. The Yamuna is moving away from Vrindavan. Prabhupada said that as more and more Mayavadis are settling in Vrindavan, the Yamuna will go further and further away from Vrindavan. Moving out. Even we have seen over the years that the Yamuna is moving away further and further. Anyhow, so this was then the place of Sanatana Goswami. His bhajan kutir was there. We just went there, paid our obeisances. Then in due course of time, Sanatana Goswami, by his arrangement, a temple also evolved here. Sanatana Goswami was always hoping that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come, but then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never came because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wouldn't let him go. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy found different excuses why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not go to Vrindavan. They were saying, now soon the rainy season will start and then it's difficult to travel, so now is not a good time to go to Vrindavan. Better you stay here. And each time they thought of a new excuse. So it's said that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come. But Sanatana Goswami was meanwhile staying here. And it is said that Sanatana Goswami and then later also Rupa Goswami settled here. So Sanatana Goswami settled in this place and Rupa Goswami settled near Seva Kunj, which is where the Radha Damodar temple is, and we'll go there after. So it said they would live very simple. They would just beg chapatis from the house of brahmanas. And in due course of time, Sanatana Goswami came across a deity. And he came across a large deity, the deity of Madan Mohan. So it is described how that deity of Madan Mohan was kept by one brahmana who was not really worshipping the deity according to the scriptures. He was treating him like one of his sons. He had many sons, and when it was time for prasadam, they would just put a deity also and just serve out the deity as well. So Sanatana Goswami basically pointed out to this brahmana that this is not proper. And later that night, Sanatana Goswami had a dream, and the deity came, and the deity told him that he should go back to the brahmana and ask the brahmana to give the deity to him in charity. Sanatana Goswami in his dream said, but he will never give to me. He said, no, don't worry, I will tell him, the deity said. So at the same time, the brahmana had a dream, and the deity also told him that Sanatana Goswami will come and I want to go with him. So it happened, and Sanatana Goswami took the deity and kept the deity here. Yeah? But he didn't have a place also to keep the deity. So he was just keeping the deity here under a tree, some say hanging in a tree. Yeah? On rope, whatever it may have been, very, very simple conditions. But he was worshipping with puja and everything. And while he was offering the chapatis, that he was begging. So it is said that one day the deity spoke and said, and asked for some salt. The deity asked for some salt. And Sanatana Goswami said, salt? Now you want salt? He said that now you want salt, and next you will want so many things. Yeah? This is the beginning of we are renunciants. We are not into enjoying our senses. We're just eating for keeping body and soul together. Yeah? So how can we have salt? It is just for taste. just for the tongue. So there was no salt. So Madan Mohan didn't get any salt. So it is said that sometime after that, in those days, the Yamuna was much bigger, because actually these days the Yamuna is being checked at Delhi. They've made a big dam in Delhi, and they're keeping Yamuna water in Delhi. So actually, if the dam wouldn't be there, the Yamuna would be much bigger here. So in those days, ships were sailing on the Yamuna. Now there are some boats, but not serious big boats. But in those days, the boats were carrying freight and so on. So there was a boat, but there was a thunderstorm. Here in India, you have these storms that just come out of nowhere, and immediately huge wind. So there was a huge wind like that, and one boat was pushed along by the wind and got stuck on a sandbank. So Sanatan Goswami, he had been prime minister. So because Sanatan Goswami had been prime minister of Bengal, he was very, very intelligent naturally and very experienced, also not on just spiritual matters but also on worldly matters. So especially Sanatan Goswami was highly respected like that by all the local villagers here, and they would all come to him with any problem, not just spiritual questions but also material. If you had a problem, go to Sanatan Goswami and he has the answer. And he had, he always had the answer. So therefore they went to Sanatan Goswami for anything. And when this boat got stuck, the owner, one Kapoor, he came and what to do, and he said, well, talk to Sanatan Goswami, he'll tell you what to do. So Sanatan Goswami told him to pray to Madan Mohan, and then he told also in which direction to pull and how to pull. And then they got the boat off the bank. So that owner of the boat, Kapoor, was very, very pleased with that, came to Sanatan Goswami and said to him, what can I do for you, right? To show my gratitude for your help. And then Sanatan Goswami said, well, you can build a temple for Madan Mohan, because they are just here under the tree. After all, I didn't do anything. They did it. They actually helped. What did I do? So you should really thank them, and you should offer a temple to them. So then this man, Mr. Kapoor, built this temple here, which we are seeing today. And that was then the first temple built by the Goswamis in Vrindavan. Various of the six Goswamis have built temples here, and even some additional Goswamis like Madhu Pandit Goswami built also the Radha Gopinath temple. Madan Mohan is the first temple that was built here by the Goswamis. There were some temples in Vrindavan, obviously, although when we read up on some history of Vrindavan, then we can really see descriptions that even in like 1760, it is mentioned by one historian that you could not walk 100 meters or you see big herds of deers running everywhere in the forest. Not that there was so much forest at that time, but here and there was bush, but everywhere deers and the blue antelope, also known as Nilgai, or the famous blue cow, here in Vrindavan, which are still here today, they were also to be seen everywhere all the time. Now you can see them in the fields or early in the morning. Huh? They are like big deers, sort of. They have them in two colors, brown and light blue. They jump. Sort of a little bit like reindeers. So the Vrindavan that Sanatana Goswami found was obviously very different than what we are seeing today. It must have been very peaceful, and the only noise was from the parrots, like over there. And now, of course, I guess there were kids also in those days, and Indian village kids probably have been noisy for hundreds of years. Somehow or other, that is the tradition in India, that villagers, they don't speak, they shout, you know. Hey! So this is still going on, and the kids are practicing for that. Anyhow, Sanatana Goswami stayed here in this on this hill, and for us, very important, Bande Rupa Sanatana Aguya Go. Without the Goswamis, there's no question of approaching Radha and Krishna. Of course, Rupa Goswami is considered to be the leader of the six Goswamis. Although Sanatana Goswami was the elder brother, and Rupa Goswami would treat him as a spiritual master. So that's always a little confusing. Since Rupa Goswami was treating him as a spiritual master, how can we count Rupa as the leader? He said, but Rupa is known as the Rasacharya, he who has in the most complete way explained everything about Rasa Tattva, which is essential to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, but Sanatana Goswami also has given us, of course, so much important instruction, and in his writings. And there's the naturally the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is really very, very nice. Now available in three parts, and something worth buying if you don't have, because so many interesting things. For example, it says in there that the residents of Vaikuntha don't just have four hands. They have this form like Vishnu with four hands, but not that little Srivatsa, that little golden streak of hair that the Lord has. But not only that, they can also take any form they like. So they change bodies all the time. And, you know, sometimes they become birds. Don't look with one eye, Sudhani. It's very inauspicious. They look with... they can take the form of birds. They can take the form of sages. They can take any form they like. They just change bodies like that at their will in Vaikuntha. So that's... And obviously, if that's possible in Vaikuntha, it's also possible in Golok, but they don't do it in Golok. Because there's so much focus on the rasa in a particular form that there's no need to change form. But in Vaikuntha, for the pleasure of Krishna, the devotees take so many varieties of form. So like that, Sanatana Goswami, in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, tells us very interesting things that are good to know, that really expand our whole understanding. So I'm just giving now a taste, right? I'm not going to give a summary of the entire Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because it's like huge, but just a taste. For example, in the pastimes of Kaliya, Sanatana Goswami is describing about Kaliya that at one point Krishna was captured in the coils of Kaliya, and all the residents of Vrindavan were there, and it said that the elders, they became so overwhelmed by seeing how Krishna was captured in the coils of this horrible serpent, that they could not kids distracting. The elders, they just fainted. So it is said that at that time, when all the elders were fainting, and the cowherd boys, when they saw that Krishna was just being captured by the snake, they started crying. They just started crying. So due to all the crying, they couldn't see. The parents and elders were unconscious. And Sanatana Goswami describes that at that point, Krishna took the gopis and also took them on the hoots of Kaliya, and they had a whole rasa dance there on the hoots of Kaliya. And then after some time, the gopis, he put them back down. How he pulled them up, he extended his arm. He was on high on that serpent, and he stretched his arm, and he could just pull them up. Although the distance wasn't right, you know, just as I could not pull up Sudama, right? But somehow or other, Krishna did it. Right? And it seemed to work. And he also put them back. And then sort of the others became conscious again, and the cowherd boys stopped crying, and then they saw Krishna dancing on the hoots of Kaliya. Like that, Sanatana Goswami gives us all kinds of details of great interest. Sanatana Goswami also wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which gives us many instructions about spiritual life. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, however, has warned us that there is some Karma Kanda influence there. It's Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta who worked on that book, and who both were trying to present the teachings of Lord Chaitanya suitable for the people of that time, and therefore put in some things that the local brahmanas would accept. So if that wouldn't have been there, the brahmanas would not have accepted it. Just like now also, we are walking bare feet on these parikramas, not because it's so important, actually. If you wear shoes, it's not so serious. But it's the local custom in Vrindavan, that one should not wear shoes. Krishna never wore shoes. He refused to wear shoes. Even when Mother Yasoda tried to make him wear shoes, Krishna didn't want to wear shoes. And when she insisted, Krishna said, "But aren't we the protectors of the cows and the calves? Isn't that our first duty as Vaishyas?" She said, "Yes, that is our first duty." He said, "Well, they don't have shoes. Then how can I have shoes? First they must have shoes. Then I will have shoes." So in this way, Krishna escaped wearing shoes. But Prabhupada was wearing shoes. But still, the local Vrijbasis are following the culture of not wearing shoes. And if we wear shoes, they will not take us serious. They will not consider that we are actually, that we have actually now given up the fallen ways of Malechas, and that we now know the proper culture of what a devotee is supposed to do. And therefore, we suffer it out without shoes. What to do? It's not my favorite program. But such is life. In Vrindavan, Because we have a duty here to kind of represent Prabhupada, to show that we are that through his mercy we have become genuine Vaishnavas. Anyway, the reason why we stop here is that this is the first temple, and Sanatan Goswami has installed Madan Mohan here. When the Muslims came to Vrindavan, one cannot imagine the atrocities. They killed many people, actually. I have this book written by an academic, which I recently got, and it's just reading in there, and it gives the history, and it's like, it's too much. Really too much. How many people were actually being killed in the Vrindavan area? And what they did. And so it's not surprising that they started to take all the deities away from here. So they took the deities to Jaipur. At one point in Jaipur, practically so many Vrindavan deities were there, because Jaipur is a big fort, a huge city, big walls and gates, even today, still impressive. So Madan Mohan were also there, but then there was a princess who was to be married to the king of Karoli. And she, of all the deities, she particularly liked Madan Mohan. So she had been worshipping Madan Mohan, and she wanted to take Madan Mohan to Karoli, but the king of Jaipur would not allow it. But she pestered him, and then eventually he said, "All right, you can take Madan Mohan on one condition. I'll place them in a room, and you'll be blindfolded, and I'll put many other deities of Krishna there. And if you can recognize Madan Mohan, you can take them." So it said she was blindfolded, sent into this room, and all the deities were there, and she was praying, "Please give me a sign." So then she went around the deities and was feeling the different deities, and when she felt Madan Mohan, the arm was soft. "This one," she said, "this is Madan Mohan." And it was Madan Mohan. So this is how Madan Mohan went to Karoli. So today, the original deities of that Sanatana Goswami worshipped are not here. They're in Karoli. And Karoli is like, it's halfway Jaipur and then 60 kilometers off the main road. It's a special trip. I went there, and Madan Mohan is very nice. Madan Mohan has a smile, a big smile. Madan Mohan is Krishna in the form who attracts the devotee. It's said that there are three principal deities: Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopinath. That in the form of Madan Mohan, Krishna is acting as the attractor. In the form of Govinda, as the giver of pleasure to the senses, and in the form of Gopinath, he is actually showing us the intimate pastimes of Vrindavan. So therefore, we first approach Madan Mohan, and in that way it's appropriate to stop here first. We must go through Madan Mohan. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's also a purport where these deities are described, Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan is particularly described as representing the Siksha Guru. And Govindaji is representing the Diksha Guru. Govinda is the I think Madan Mohan is the Diksha Guru, Govinda the Siksha Guru. Yes, Govinda the Siksha Guru. So it is described like that because we must make our connection. First there is Sambandha. Through the Diksha Guru one makes Sambandha. First there is Sambandha, and then Abhideya, the process which comes through the instructions. Govinda is the one who instructed the Bhagavad Gita. He's Govinda. So Govinda is the one who is particularly the instructor. And by following these instructions, Govinda also means he who gives pleasure to the senses. So by following these instructions, one can actually get happiness. So there's a lot of depth actually in the whole, in these pastimes. A lot more than just quickly seeing a deity. Yesterday also we went on a parikrama and we went to Kusum Sarovar, or Sarovar maybe I should say. Sarovar. Huh? Yeah, Sarovar. Kusum Sarovar. And we went there, and then we remembered Uddhava, who one of the points we discussed was that although we are in Vrindavan, at the same time we cannot really see the spiritual world. Although this is supposed to be the spiritual world, we're not experiencing it like that. We hear engines coming by, we're sitting here thinking, how long can I sit like this? We are being distracted by the people that are walking by. These vrijbasis, they are parikrama machines. They just walk at such high pace, nothing can stop them. And so like that, we are we're in Vrindavan, and we've come from far to get spiritual inspiration. But how much are we getting? That was the question we asked yesterday. How much are we getting? And I'll ask the same question today, because there's so many people who weren't here yesterday. How much are we able to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? We cannot actually see the spiritual world. My plan is now to go down and then to go to Radha Damodar temple, and then towards Radha Raman, Radha Gokula Nanda, and then from there on to Kesigat, and then walk back, sort of. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that Kesigat is all made of gold. Eh? So you've got something to look forward to. We will end the parikrama at Kesigat, and yes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told us, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told us that Kesigat is made of gold and jewels. So that's why I thought, keep the best for last, okay? And so, but don't put any in your pocket. Yeah? We'll leave them here. But these jewels are not ordinary jewels. These are transcendental gems, Chintamani, transcendental touchstone. Such jewels are here in Vrindavan. We cannot see. We hold a little piece of stone in our hand, but nothing is ordinary here. So it is said, Rupa Raghunath Pade Hoibe Mora Kuti Tave Kave Hama Se Yugala Piriti. That Srila Narottam Das Thakur, we will come in the Radha Gokula Nanda temple and we will go to the samadhi of Narottam Das Thakur. But only shortly, because otherwise this parikrama will take till the evening. And I think that's a bit too much. But he said that without Rupa and Raghunath, how can we make any progress? How can we actually understand? Bujabo means to understand. How can one understand Yugala Piriti, the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna? One cannot. So that's our position. So Prabhupada explains we must go step by step through the process that Rupa Goswami is outlining in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, especially these first 19 chapters are showing us the basic process of how to get from the beginning stages of devotional service to love of God. And so going to these places and trying to meditate and remember is part of that process. So we can, when we are here, we can pray for mercy. We are trying to remember. We're trying to understand a little bit how these great devotees that were here, how they were living, how ecstatic they were, and so on. So that is basically our parikrama. All right, it is getting warmer, and we're sitting now for a while, and then more places, I think, will continue. And then we go down the other side, the stairs, and sort of find our way to Radha Damodar. And then go take blessings of Srila Prabhupada in his rooms in Radha Damodar, and Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, Bhajan Kutir, so much more. Hare. Hare.